Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Money Member by Avram Goldhar and Tim Masechah Zavodah Zorah Daf Yudal. The first paraklif ne'edehen. The Zichu Masechah Zavodah Zorah program has been dedicated. Lezechah Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom and Lezechah Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf list items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol avan, a white rooster. Rav Yehuda permits selling tarnagol avan bein ha-tarnagolim, a white rooster among roosters. Rav Ezer said that if an idolater asks tarnagol ami, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster because it's apparently not for sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell one because we suspect it's for sacrifice. This is challenged from Rav Yehuda's ruling that selling a white rooster among roosters is permitted. If a white rooster was specifically requested, it would be prohibited to sell one even among others. Rather, the Mishnah must be where he did not specify a white rooster, yet Rav Yehuda forbids selling a white one alone, and the Tanakhama forbids selling it at all. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers that the Mishnah's case is where he asked to purchase zevazeh, this white one, and that colored one. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell it because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asks, Tarnagol Avan Ketua Lemi, if an idolater asks, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him Tarnagol Avan Shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for a Avodah Zarah? Or do we say, Irumi Kamarim, he is being deceptive by requesting a Ketua, knowing they are uncommon, and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? If we assume the latter, then what if he asked Tarnagol Avan Lami, who has a white rooster to sell, and they offered him a black rooster and he took it, then they offered him a red rooster and he took it? Can they now sell him a white one? Does his acceptance of the colored roosters indicate that his purchase is not for idolatry, or do we say he's being deceptive? This question is left unresolved. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Makrim Shenagol Imkor Behem Adako Avdur Chochavim. In a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for al b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhag is not to sell a behemoth daka to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. The Gemara wonders why this would depend on the custom and not be forbidden outright, because a Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph states, Ein ma'midin behemah bepundakos sho'ov dechochavim. We do not leave an animal in the stable of an inn of an idolater, b'fnei shechashudin al raviyah, because they're suspected of having relations with animals. Rav says both laws depend on the local minhag, and the Mishnah prohibiting leaving one's animal with an idolater refers to a place with such a minhag. Boazer says that although leaving one's animal alone with an idolater is always forbidden, it may still be permitted to sell him an animal because Ovid Kochavim Chasel Behemta Shol Ta'akir, an idolater is concerned about his animal that it should not become sterile, and he does not have relations with it. Rav later retracted and agreed with Boazer. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf listed items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol avan, a white rooster. Rav Yehuda permits selling tarnagol avan bein ha-tarnagolim, a white rooster among roosters. Rav Ezer said that if an idolater asks tarnagol ami, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster because it's apparently not for sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell one because we suspect it's for sacrifice. This is challenged from Rav Yehuda's ruling that selling a white rooster among roosters is permitted. If a white rooster was specifically requested, it would be prohibited to sell one even among others. Rather, the Mishnah must be where he did not specify a white rooster, yet Rav Yehuda forbids selling a white one alone, and the Tanakhama forbids selling it at all. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers that the Mishnah's case is where he asked to purchase zevazeh, this white one, and that colored one. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell it because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asks, Tarnagol Avan Ketua Lemi, if an idolater asks, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him Tarnagol Avan Shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for Avodah Zarah? Or do we say, Irumi Kamarim, he is being deceptive by requesting a Ketua, knowing they are uncommon, and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? If we assume the latter, then what if he asked Tarnagol Avan Lami, who has a white rooster to sell, and they offered him a black rooster and he took it, then they offered him a red rooster and he took it? Can they now sell him a white one? Does his acceptance of the colored roosters indicate that his purchase is not for idolatry, or do we say he's being deceptive? This question is left unresolved. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Makom shenagolin kor behema dako avdei kochavim. In a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for all b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhag is not to sell a behemoth daka to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. The Gemara wonders why this would depend on the custom and not be forbidden outright, because a Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph states, Ein ma'midin behemoth bepundakos shel avdei kochavim. We do not leave an animal in the stable of an inn of an idolater, b'fnei shechashudin al revia, because they're suspected of having relations with animals. Rav says both laws depend on the local minhag, and the Mishnah prohibiting leaving one's animal with an idolater refers to a place with such a minhag. Boazer says that although leaving one's animal alone with an idolater is always forbidden, it may still be permitted to sell him an animal because Ovid Kochavim Chasel Behemta Shol Ta'akir, an idolater is concerned about his animal that it should not become sterile, and he does not have relations with it. Rav later retracted and agreed with Boazer. All right, so now we got our siman daf yud dalet, and our standard siman relates to a yud, a hand, and we use a juggler for the siman, a juggler. So here goes. The idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner, who wanted to juggle behemoth daka sheep, was being turned away by all the merchants. Once again, it's a motion. The idolater juggler, that must be more on daf yud dalet, yud, hand. The idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters, to juggle, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf listed items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol lavan, a white rooster. Rav Yehuda permits selling a white rooster among roosters. Rabbi Zera said that if an idolater asks, tarnagol me, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster because it's apparently not for a sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell one because we suspect it's for sacrifice. So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asked, Tarnagol Levan Ketula Mi, if an idolater asks, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him a Tarnagol Levan Shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for Avodah Zorah, or do we say that he's being deceptive by requesting a Ketua knowing they're uncommon and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner who wanted to juggle behemoth daka sheep was being turned away by all the merchants. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Makom shenagolin kor behemoth daka avdei kochavim, in a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for all b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhag is not to sell behemoth daka to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. So once again, the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner, who wanted to juggle behemoth daka sheep, was being turned away by all the merchants. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Yud. So the siman Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. While the minion of Yidden, that must be on Daf Yud. While the minion of Yidden were reviewing the shtar for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, which reminds us, the Gemara brings proof that we date shtaros from the Greek era. So while the minion of Yidden were reviewing the shtar for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, two members discovered a secret tunnel with emperor's clothes that opened into the rabbi's study, which reminds us, the Gemara describes a special relationship between Rebbe and Antoninus and how Antoninus would visit Rebbe daily by going through a secret tunnel. So while the minion of Yidden were reviewing the shtar for the shul they bought, which was dated according to the Greek era, two members discovered a secret tunnel with emperor's clothes that opened into the rabbi's study, where a picture of Ketiah Bar Shalom was on the wall next to the rabbi's drasha titled Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shal Achatz, which reminds us, the Gemara tells us about Ketiah Bar Shalom, who was killed for defending the Jews, and Rebbe teaches us Yesh Kona Olamo B'Shal Achatz, there's one who acquires his world in 1 hour, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Kamashanim, and one who acquires his world over many years. Daf Yudolf. So the Siman Daf Yudolf is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The Ger who had placed gold stars, that must be more on Daf Yudolf. The Ger who had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Uncas became a Ger and kept converting the Roman troops sent after him. The Caesar sent a third troop and warned them not to say anything to him. As they were taking him away, he touched the mezuzah and asked them what it was. They asked him to explain, and he said that although a human king sits inside and his servants guard him from outside, but with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, his servants sit inside, and he guards them outside. These soldiers also converted, and the Caesar did not send others after him. So the Ger had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, next to where a king's garments were being burned on the day of his death, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Remer said that the king's birthday and the day of his death are idolatrous events, prohibiting business with them 3 days before. The Chachamim say it's only forbidden if they burned his personal items. The Gemara explains that this practice is not idolatrous, but a demonstration of chashivusa, the king's prominence. The Chachamim hold they only worshipped idols on a death that was significant enough that they burned his personal articles. So the Ger who had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, next to where a king's garments were being burned on the day of his death, refused to give a star to the healthy man who approached him while on the shoulders of a cripple, which reminds us, the Gemara describes the Roman festival celebrating Esav's triumph over Yaakov. Every 70 years, they would bring a healthy person, representing Esav, and have him ride on top of a cripple, representing Yaakov. The rider would wear the garments of Adam and Rishon and place the flayed skin of Rabbi Shmuel's face on his head. The Gemara proceeds to describe what the Romans would call out to him. Daf Yud Beis. So the symbol Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival, around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf permits doing business outside a city celebrating an idolatrous festival. Rish Lakish quoted Rabbi Hanina permitting even the marketplace of Azza, which was right outside Azza. In another version, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Hanina about the marketplace of Azza, and Rabbi Hanina responded, "Have you never gone to Tzur in your life and seen a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove? Yet the Chachamim were not concerned about their case. This ruling and analogy are interpreted in three ways. The first one being, Abai says they were not concerned the idolater would put an avela into the Jew's pot, and similarly, are unconcerned that a seller in the market is receiving money used for idolatry and biblically prohibited." So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, which reminds us if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it because he appears as if he's bowing to the idol. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, and another from drinking from the pipe in the ground because of the danger of leeches, which reminds us, the Brisa concludes, similarly, one may not place his mouth on a pipe in the ground and drink because of the danger. The Gemara explains that he might swallow a leech. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simran Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, bar mitzvah boy, that must be one Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or hadas, which were offered before the idol, because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idol, because the pasuk Yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherem, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then derived benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on a kavach homer. If deriving benefit from avodah zorah is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassin says, that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema te'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted. Ikur is defined as he cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tzar Bal Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. So the bar mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a Baal HaBayis She'enu Kavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a Baal HaBayis, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a Taga, a merchant, who does collect the tax. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a Baal HaBayis She'enu Kavua, a Baal HaBayis who is not established at the fair, and the priests do not collect taxes from such a Baal HaBayis. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn about Ketiyah Bar Shalom being killed for defending the Jews? And we learn Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'achas. That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number two, which stuff do we ask if it's permitted to sell an idolater on an unblemished white rooster if he asks for a Tarnagol Levan Ketua, a white rooster with a cut-off toe? That's on Daf Yudalad. Good. Number three. Which stuff do you learn about the difference between buying from a merchant in an idolatrous market versus buying from a Baal HaBayis She'enu Kavua? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number four. Which stuff do we discuss selling a behemoth daka to an idolater? That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number five. Which stuff do we learn about Rome's alliance with the Jews to conquer the Greeks and then the eventual subjugation of the Jews? That's on Daf Ches. Good. Number six. Which daf did we learn that the 2,000 years of Torah begin when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number seven. Which daf does Gemara bring proof that we date Shtaros from the Greek era? That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number eight. Which daf do you talk about selling a white rooster to an idolater? That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do you learn about how to calculate years from the Churban based on dates in Shtaros? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you discuss burning a king's personal articles after his death? That's on Daf Yudalev. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.